Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here again. I've been here a number of times in August, and I always look forward to this family of God. Just wonderful friends here, and it's encouraging to see what the Lord did. Now, I got my personal tour of the third floor. That is quite a place. My land. The last time I was here was before this was all finished. I walked through with Rob, and he was sharing, you know, as Rob does. He was sharing vision, and I'm thinking, okay, I can see how some of this could happen. Not sure where the money's going to come from, but what the Lord has done here is remarkable. Praise the Lord. But more than the building, and you as a church understand that, it's the people of God. And the Lord's doing something unique here. There may be some here that are not part of the church as much. You may be just taking a look at things, but this is a real deal. This is a real deal here. And you got those words at the entrance. I should have written them down. I can't remember what they are, but when I was driving here this morning, I was praying, and I was thinking, if someone asked me to describe restored, the way I would describe it is it's a church that's committed to evangelism, discipleship, church planting, committed to worship, committed to prayer, and then committed to being the family of God together and growing together. And there aren't a lot of churches that got that combination. And so, you know, as you keep working at that, and nothing's ever perfect. I mean, every week there's problems. But God's doing something unique here. And so it's a privilege to be here with you this morning and share some thoughts that the Lord's put on my heart. And actually, this message I've been thinking about for a whole year. It's been kind of just going around in my mind. And because some time ago I was in Colorado, and I was looking at these aspen trees. And, well, it was last fall for the first time I'd seen the aspen trees with their colors changing. And it reminded me of something that occurred 40 years ago. And so I'm going to weave a story about what the aspen trees are with a personal experience I had. And, you know, summer, it's a little slower, so this is story time a bit. And I mentioned in the earlier service, I said, I never expect anybody to remember my message outline. I can't even remember if I spoke a few weeks ago, I couldn't tell you the outline. You know, I just don't remember outlines very well. But I do have a picture that is by the cross there. And you can go get one after the service if you'd like. There's a Bible verse on there that kind of summarizes what I'm going to say this morning. But here's my outline. And the reason I'm going to tell you the outline ahead of time is because I think some of these points you'll see through what I share. I'll kind of jump around a little bit with it. But here's the outline. Hardship produces life. That's the first point. Second is our faith then grows through the testing. Third, spiritual growth is largely related, this may be an exaggeration, it's not like we depend on each other, but spiritual growth is somewhat related to how we interact with the body of Christ. It's a big deal. And then God intends to use each person, and here's the one word that I want to highlight, to greatly expand his kingdom. He wants to use every person here greatly to expand his kingdom. Now, Jesus told a lot of stories. He used in the Bible, we see him using nature, using things that were around him all the time to illustrate points. And so some of those, they'll come to your mind right away. If I said vineyard, if someone says vineyard to me, I think of John 15 right away. Wheat, What do we think of? Us good Kansas folk here. Wheat is what unto harvest? White unto harvest. We think of that application. Oceans. There's a great verse in Psalm 93 I memorized years ago that talks about these waves crashing, thundering. The sound of the waves of the ocean are supposed to speak to us of God's greatness. The ant, the little bitsy ant even gets a place in the Bible, in Proverbs. Fig trees, sparrows. Just think of it. I mean, these images. So Jesus was always telling stories to illustrate truth. So we got the truth of God's word, but there's things. And so I'm going to tell you a bit about the aspen tree, which is my favorite tree. It became my favorite tree about 40 years ago. And I'd have a backyard full of them if they grew here, but they don't grow here. They're mountain trees. They grow up in the mountains. But here's a story that gets intertwined with the aspen tree. 40 years ago, I was a bit younger than I am today, and a bit more energy, and a little more daring than I am today. You know, the older you get a little more conservative on things. And I took a group of high school guys on a horsepacking trip up into the mountains. And we went way up, above tree level at times, a whole week in the mountains. And there were no cell phones there, otherwise I would have some pictures to show you. I mean, that was a wild and crazy time. And lest you get concerned, everybody lived on the trip, and so I'm not leading to a bad conclusion. We lived. Guys bucked off of horses. We, at nighttime, it froze every night. We were sleeping outside in sleeping bags. And one night, our horses got loose. And so all 25 of us guys put our boots on, and in our underwear, we're chasing around on the mountain finding our horses. Now, that was quite a sight, I'm sure. That was quite a sight. But we got all the horses, got them back tied up. We had horse races, bareback. I mean, the stuff. I was in my 20s then. These guys were all teen guys, and you can imagine. I mean, we were just crazy on that mountain. An experience I'll never forget. Never forget. Those guys are all in their 50s now, and they'll talk about that as the adventure of their lifetime. Just this great adventure. Well, about the third, well, let me tell you how we started. We unload in the mountains, get out of our vans, and there were a little flat area. We're in the mountains, but a little flat area, and the horses were up in a corral. We couldn't see them. And there was just this little area where there were no trees, a little valley that came to us and went on down, and there we're standing. And he said, our horse guide, he said, our guides, they said, line up most experienced riders over there to the least experienced over here. Well, guess what? These are city guys. So there are a few of us had been on a horse, and the rest, first time. And I got to think those guides were saying, oh my goodness, this is going to be a week to remember. And it was. And they said, now these horses are going to come down this hill here. And they're not going to be trotting. They're going to be galloping. And we were the first, we were the spring, early summer group, so these were horses were spirited. I mean, they were spirited. We had guys get bucked off left and right. And so, sure enough, here these horses came. And we heard the sound of them before we saw them, and the dust was kicking off, and they're galloping towards us. And he said, don't move, or they'll keep going. But they won't run you over. They'll stop. Sure enough, they stopped. They stopped. We all wondered whether they were going to. And we're looking at them, and these guys, I think they're starting to say, okay, this looks a little different than it did from Kansas. They learned how to saddle them up, and off we were. Off we were. My horse was Bill. Still remember the name. It was the biggest one of all the horses, female with whiskers. So that's why I called her Bill. So anyway, we take off riding, and about the third day, we come to this aspen grove. And I'd never had this experience. I mean, these beautiful trees. And we're weaving along, sometimes in a trail, sometimes just going through the trees, walking through creeks, looking at the mountains above us, the sunlight coming through hour after hour. Just spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. Now, what is it about the aspen tree that, you know, I'd even have this in the message? Well, the aspen tree, there's a number of things. It got white trunks. There we are. You see those white trunks. That's unusual. I mean, you don't see. I'm sure a lot of you have seen aspen trees, but that's quite a thing when you see a grove of them. They've got these interesting leaves. They're kind of like cottonwood trees, but the trees make a... Have any of you heard the aspen trees? When the breeze goes through, makes a fluttering sound. It's different than you ever hear around here. It makes this fluttering sound. Great leaves. They grow in groves. You never see an aspen tree by itself. They're always in a grove of trees like that. They, in the mountains, they get spectacular, you know, in the fall. During the other seasons, they mix in with the other trees. You can't tell any difference from a distance. They're just, you know, you see the side of a mountain. But in fall, it's like these gold trails weaving through the mountains. It's just, it's a spectacular look. Well, what's so unique about these trees? And over the years, I've read different things about them. The first thing, and you'll start getting the drift of these aspen trees mixed in with those points I mentioned, is that a grove comes out of some devastating event. And the reason is aspen trees cannot grow in the shade. And so what happens is there's these root system of aspen trees, or they're not trees yet, they're root system that are lying under existing trees. So it could be a forest, pine trees, whatever kind of trees there are. This root system can just be growing and expanding. And then a forest fire comes, or a glacier, and wipes out the trees, and all of a sudden it's flat, the land there. And then in spring, the rains come, the sun shines, and that root system starts sticking up seedlings, dozens. Hundreds, it could be thousands of them. And every aspen grove, that's how they've come about. So, crisis, and then you got an aspen grove. It's quite a thing. Second thing that's unique about them is aspen trees, they don't have a root system that goes deep. And so, in Kansas, trees that survive the strong winds that come, they got deep roots. So an oak tree goes way down, way down. And so unless a tornado's coming along or a big old lightning bolt that splits an oak tree, that tree's not going anywhere. It's going to just stay there forever. And so you can draw some analogies out of that. But an aspen tree, roots go this way instead of that way. So they're going sideways. And then what do? They intertwine with these other roots of aspen trees. And that's what keeps them up. So in the harshness of the winter, in the mountains, when those strong winds come, the cold, whatever, that's why you never see an aspen tree by itself. It couldn't survive. It just topple over. But those roots intertwined. And you already got, you know where this is going. In fact, on that horsepacking trip, our guide that evening, he gave the devotional, said, we went through these aspen trees. He didn't tell about the devastation part, but he told about how they interlocked. And I've never forgotten that. You know, what a picture of the church. What a picture of the church. That's how those aspen trees survive. The other thing that's unique is an entire grove can come from one seed. Now, I don't know how the one seed gets there. I got to go back and read on the internet on that one. But that one seed starts a root system, and it just keeps growing and growing. In Utah, there's one that is 2,000 years old. I don't know how they know it's 2,000 years old, but that's what they say. And there isn't one tree But it's covering acres and acres and miles. It just keeps getting bigger, but there's a forest it's under. So unless that forest burns, nothing's growing. Isn't that amazing? From one seed, one little seed, and all of a sudden there you got, storms come, and all of a sudden you got a grove of aspen tree. Every grove has been formed that way. So that's an amazing, amazing thing. So what's the message outline connected with this? First of all, hardship produces life. Hardship produces growth. And that makes us a little uncomfortable. I want an easy afternoon. And if I have an easy afternoon, I want an easy week. And if I got an easy week, I want an easy month. How many of us are saying, gee, I hope we got a big, big problem week? We don't like that. We don't like hardship. And yet God uses hardship. Job 23:10, I memorized that years ago. And it's come back to me during every time, practically, I go through something difficult. This verse, the Lord just brings it to my mind. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God isn't looking for silver. Gold. That's what he's wanting. And somehow, that comes out of difficulty. I asked in the earlier service, had anybody seen the movie The Insanity of God? Have any of you seen that? Put it on the list. It'd be good to see it in one of your church groups. Or something. The Insanity of God. My wife and I watched it the other week. And it's a story about a couple that lost their son on the mission field, their oldest son. He was 18 years old. And devastated they were, as you can imagine. And the father then went on a trek. He started going to third world countries where the church had been persecuted, interviewed people. And it's that story. Just in many individual stories of what God has done. I've been in Cuba multiple times where the average income is $20 a month. A lot of hardship there. The church in the prison is exploding in Cuba. Baptisms all over the prison there. Out of that harshness, God's doing something. Just doing something significant. India Gospel League, I don't know if any of you are familiar with that organization, World Impact, we partner with them. And they now have 80,000 village churches. Last year alone, I think they planted 7,000 or 8,000. A lot of churches in Wichita have sent missions teams and seen what's taking place. Just a remarkable movement. A huge number of the churches are planted this way. You know, these are can be radical Hindu villages. A leader goes to the village, not in every case, but many cases, get beaten up. Some have died. They get thrown in prison or their little jail in that village. Get released, go back home, come back, and the guys that beat them up then accept Christ. And then the next year, a church gets planted. They count a church if they have 30 baptized believers. And then the next year, one of those guys that was doing the beating up takes off for the next village. Same thing happens. And in this movie, they were talking about, said, we do not want the persecution to stop. This is good for us. I can't remember the exact words, but I'm watching this thing. Wow. And I remembered being in Taiwan years ago. I was on a trip there and way up in the mountains. I went with some Chinese folk. There was one guy that spoke English. And we're in this little church that had half a roof. Some guys came. I saw one guy with a leg missing walking in with a stick holding him up. And I was there for choir practice. And when the choir sang, it was the whole church that went up to the front to sing, and me and a few others sitting there and people giving mushrooms for the offering. They were so poor. And we were driving around and I asked what all these things were along this little dirt road, the mountains. He said, that's where people have died. And I made some stupid American comment. I have no idea what I said exactly. But he said something, you know, in the West, you expect life to be good. We expect it to be harsh. And that's how God works. Now, is it possible to be in the West and have a deep walk with Christ? Well, of course. That's what the Bible talks about. But a lot of times, it's through the difficulty that life comes in our lives. It's not that everybody who comes to Christ comes out of some tragedy, but sometimes it's a case. But spiritual growth comes through that testing. A verse that, jeepers, if it doesn't make you a little bit uncomfortable, James 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face what? Trials of many kinds. What a strange choice of words. Consider it pure joy. That makes no sense. That makes no sense. Unless you see God's hand and how His kingdom advances, how that tool of His works in our lives. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Mature and complete. That's what God wants for us, every one of us. Romans 5, 3 through 5. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Very powerful verses. Now, we can't escape the hardship. We live in a broken world, a sinful world. There's drunk drivers. God didn't cause drunk drivers. But there's sin. There's brokenness that's going to touch us. There's death. We're on our way to heaven. I'm either going first or you're going first. We just don't know the order we're going. So there's a lot of hardship. There's a lot of pain that God wants to use in our lives to shape us, to mold us. And then when that testing comes, that's when the family of God needs to be there. Not just when the testing comes. If the family of God isn't there before the testing time, I doubt whether the family of God is going to be there during the testing time. And that's why your home churches are such a powerful concept. Because you know each other. And I said it in earlier service, in a kind way. Not only Rob will be in your face, but somebody's going to be in your face in a loving way, in a nurturing way. That's how we grow. That's how we're strengthened. That family of God. Those intertwined roots. Again, what a blessing that is. It's a blessing. You know, why is it? That we don't like to be known. You know why we don't like to be known? Because I think I'm worse than you. That's the biggest trick of the devil. The reality is we're all sinful. My sin nature is not better than yours. I suppose I get a little comfort that mine isn't worse than yours. We got a sin nature. We are broken before God. But when we don't have to hide that, I don't mean go blab everything to everybody. That's not what I'm saying. But when I, you know, my pastor, Jerry Wilhite, we get together every 2 weeks. We just kind of, first thing we do is just lay it out there. Just lay it out there. And there's freedom in that. And so if we've done that, because the freedom comes where I no longer have to prove myself, even though I'm still tempted to do it. I'm a 66-year-old guy that's still trying to act like what I'm not sometimes. But I'm a little better than I was a year ago. I'm a little better. I'm who I am. And if you love me for who I am, and my stumbles and my fumbles, then I kind of love you better for who you are. It kind of works that way. And there's freedom. There's immense freedom when we don't feel like we have to impress each other. And then when we're that family, when we're that family intertwined, then when we go through that difficult moment, it's just so natural for the church. Complete, join me. I'm in grief. I'm in sorrow. I'm sick. I'm this. I'm whatever is. Then that body ministers together. Isn't that powerful? I mean, that's God's work. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. So, I bet this verse has been said many times here. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him. Woe to him or her who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Boy, if that isn't a picture of the family of God in a healthy way working together. We get guidance from each other. We get prayer support. Even Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:25, he said, brothers, pray for us. Paul. I mean, if there's ever anybody that had direct access to the Lord, it's Paul. He's saying, pray for us. Pray for us. We need the prayer support. We need all that. Well, then, the last point. What is God's intended purpose with this testing, this carving away, this shaping? What's his intended purpose? Well, it's for his kingdom to advance. And I love Brandy's prayer earlier. Maybe that was in the first service, I can't remember. But it was for the kingdom to advance. For the kingdom to advance. We don't come together to sit in, I was going to say pews, but in the chairs, and sing great songs of worship. We certainly come to worship. I'm not minimizing this. I hope you hear what I'm saying. But we don't come here for ourselves. We want to bring glory to Christ. And then we're getting shaped. We're getting shaped. Young people, the children's Sunday school class, right? There's something taking place that those kids don't even understand what's taking place. The teens, the adults. The church group, something's taking place. God's growing up. He's growing up people that we all become that seed, that one seed. And it does not matter if the seed I am sprouts up 10 seedlings or whether your tree, your seed, sprouts up 50 or another 1,000. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. All that matters is that we be that seed that's shaped, that's ready, that is carved away on, that can produce the fruit and the harvest. What could come out of this church? What could come out of this church? I think a whole lot. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Your righteousness and then the fruit. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. Acts 1:8, you know that verse. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come to be witnesses. Just moves it along. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. It's God's plan. The issue isn't whether it's His plan. The issue seems to be, how available are you? How available am I? You know what's amazing to me? True confession. True confession. My heart can be vibrant. Today, it's, we're almost going to be finished at 12. At 3 minutes till 12, my heart can be vibrant. 10 minutes after 12, there can be some goofy attitude, some goofy thought that just comes, and I feel like a little boy. So I was asking myself this week, I was just trying to think, how I'd conclude this message. And, okay, what's a response to something like this? And I know this is of God. It's not how well I speak. That's not the issue. It's what's the truth. That's what's the truth. That's what's important. I know this is scriptural. No doubt in my mind. None whatsoever. So the response to me seems to be, are we available? That's all it is. Am I all in? Every one of us should ask that question. And it'd be good to answer truthfully in our heart. Say, you know, I'm half there. I'm three-fourths there. And three-fourths there is not good enough. Growth is not going to come at three-fourths. The beginning of growth is total, absolute surrender to Christ. 100%. I can't change what happened a year ago, 6 months ago. I can't change what happened yesterday. I can't predict next week. But what I can say is, here I am. And I can say that many times a day. Romans 12:1, there's many scriptures talk about it. Luke 9:23, deny yourself daily. I think, well, probably many people here have your morning quiet time. And at those times, probably say, Lord, just take over. I think what we should get in the habit of is five times, 10 times, 20 times a day, saying, Lord, here I am. I sign up again. That was a bad attitude there. I shouldn't have said that. I'll get that straightened out. I shouldn't have had that nasty thought. I'm sorry, but here I am again, Lord. Here I am. I'm all yours. If we practice that many times a day, we're going to see something happen at deeper levels. Believe me, it's going to be at deeper levels if we do that. So the Bible verse, and I hope you get these cards, otherwise I got to really find a lot of people to hand them out to us next year. But it's a pretty picture of aspen trees with a little trail right in the middle. That's why I like this picture, because I can picture myself on that little trail walking along. And it says, I'm not saying, I didn't take that picture, so. But here's a verse, Romans 12:12. It says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. If you have not memorized that verse, I encourage you to do that for this year. Look at those verses. Look at those thoughts. They're just three little thoughts. Rejoice in hope. When we're in the trials, we're not going to probably feel giddy joy. Oh, wow, I sure feel joy. But there's a joy in hope because it's foundational. Based on the fact, we sang about that, I'm on my way to heaven. You know, I'll be 67 on my next birthday. It's getting closer. I don't know how soon this is going to be, but I'm going to be there, folks. I'm going to be there. That's a good day. So, in worst of worst, I can be hopeful in that, but I also can be hopeful if God gives me time that He's shaping my life. I'm going to be a better man of God when I get through this, whatever this is. I'm going to be a better man of God. Don't you want me to be a better man of God? You know, the guy that led our horse thing that put that together, he was on our summer staff 45 years ago, he and his wife Carol, Ron and Carol. Big old rugged mountain man. The kind of guy that if you met a bear, you want walking ahead of you. Probably 6'3", 6'4", 250 pounds. I mean, he was a mountain man. We hadn't seen him in a lot of years. Saw him just about a month ago. Got cancer 20 years ago, was given 6 months to live, multiple surgeries, all the treatments. He's more frail. He said, I could never get on a horse again. And he's not quite that rugged mountain man in the same way. But boy, is he more a man of God today. He and his wife just love Christ, love each other. I was around him and I'm just so attracted to him, his personality. Well, that's shaped by God. So rejoice in hope. The Word of God is what we stand on, not our circumstances. We rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. So whatever the fire is, be patient in that. Lean on your brothers and sisters, and then be constant in prayer. Constant. Doesn't say every other day. Doesn't say one. Be constant in prayer. So that's the end. That's the end. So what's our response? Here's what I want to do. I want to just say a word of prayer for you, for me. And if you would like to, don't feel pressure to do this. In fact, maybe don't do it unless your heart is really there. Or maybe you do it even if your heart isn't there and you say, God changed my heart so I could be there. But maybe just as I pray, I'm going to have my hands out. And let's have our hands out to say, Lord Jesus, you come here. You fill me up. You renew me. You give me hope in Christ. I dedicate myself to you. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you as a family of God, intertwined in your marvelous way. That's your plan. Lord, we see trouble around us so often, but thank you that you are the God of the ages. Thank you for heaven. We're heading there. We thank you for that. Lord, if there's anybody here not certain of that, don't let them leave without getting that right. And then, Lord, would you do a miracle? No matter what our past is, no matter what last week was, no matter what yesterday was, would you breathe on us that we can say, here we are, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit, use us to bring you glory, and use us then to transform this lost world. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.